Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported 7 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, 3 in Anchorage, 2 in the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and 1 each in Homer in Kenai. The new positives bring Alaska's resident case count to 467. There were no new non-resident cases yesterday, and that count remains at 21. Meanwhile, the Providence, Alaska Transitional Care Center in Anchorage confirmed 5 additional coronavirus cases yesterday, bringing the total number there at the facility to 17, a mix of patients and staff. Alaska Public Media reports that it's the largest reported cluster of coronavirus cases at a single facility in Alaska. Providence Health Services Alaska Regional Chief Medical Officer Dr. Michael Bernstein says the first case, a patient, was confirmed Friday and likely acquired the disease at the Transitional Care Center, but that the exact origin is still being investigated. Patients at the Transitional Care Center range in age and typically stay for 40 to 50 days to recover from surgery, serious illness, or injury. Bernstein says all patients and staff are being tested for the virus, as well as all the residents and staff at Providence's extended care facility, a long-term care center on the same campus. Both have been closed to visitors since March. Alaska received over 4,000 lightning strikes yesterday, and there were more than 24 wildfire starts. It was the third heavy lightning day in a row, and Alaska Fire Service spokesperson Beth Ipson says more is expected.
Hopefully the lightning will come with rain. There's rain in the forecast for the southern half of the state, even here in the Fairbanks area.
Ipson says as of last night, 3 wildfires were being fought in the state, all in western Alaska. Meanwhile, Ipson says the Clear Creek Fire, a lightning-caused blaze which began Sunday in a military training range south of Fairbanks, grew significantly yesterday.
Based on the flyover, it's estimated to have grown to about 1,000 acres, burning in grass, especially dry grass, pushed along by winds. The good news, though, is that there is rain in the fire area.
Ipson says the Clear Creek Fire is not threatening anything, and even if it was, the fire is burning in an area where it cannot be fought due to the presence of unexploded ordnance. The University of Alaska is easing some COVID-19 restrictions. A letter to the university community from UA President Jim Johnson says the statewide system is shifting to Phase B of its on-site operations plan. Under Phase B, facilities including museums, gyms, retail, and food service outlets may operate if they can meet safety precautions and have a chancellor or the president's approval, but all public events and mass gatherings will continue to not be allowed. The letter also says most employees will continue to work remotely, and UA campuses will remain closed except for approved activities. President Johnson says specifics of operations will vary by campus, but overall, UA will continue to be under more restrictions than the state because of the inherently higher risk for disease spread in the university community. He also emphasizes the importance of taking personal responsibility as restrictions are slowly eased. The Fairbanks North Star Borough's central recycling facility is slowly opening up to take plastic and paper after a 2-month pandemic-caused closure. KUAC's Robin reports.
Recycling coordinator Sean Huntington is calling last week a soft opening without a formal announcement, but people found out anyway.
Many residents have held on to their materials for the 2 months that we were closed. It does put some stress in the warehouse.
Huntington says a normal intake day last year would be about 150 customers. Last week, it was about 250 people per day. Now the Fairbanks North Star Borough Solid Waste Department will evaluate this test run to see how new procedures affect the workflow.
We want one customer per vehicle to get out of their vehicle with a face covering. We want them to maintain 6 feet distance between any staff. We have 2 lanes coming up instead of just 1 lane, so we have 2 drop-off areas.
Because last week's opening filled up the warehouse, the central recycling facility is not yet open to commercial users. The facility will continue to be closed every Sunday and Monday, even though staff members come in on Mondays to catch up with processing the recyclables. The center takes only paper and cardboard, plastic bottles with a number 1, plastic jugs with a number 2, aluminum drink cans, and used electronics like computers. The electronics sit for 3 days and then go to the volunteer group Green Star. The rest are bundled up and shipped south.
Hauled via the Alaska Railroad down to Anchorage, where it's accepted at the West Rock's warehouse, and then it gets barged down to Seattle. Recently, though, we've started a new procedure where we're going to try and send cardboard and paper straight to Seattle. And there are some cost savings to the central recycling facility for doing so.
He says they can only take clean materials with no food residue on the paper or in the bottles. And they don't need to be washed, just rinsed out and the labels removed.
We don't take food containers, we don't take glass, and we also do not take tin cans.
Huntington says many customers that came through last week seemed to know what to expect, had their materials sorted as required, and waited patiently with long lines.
I would say for the most part, people have been following the rules, wearing their face coverings to, you know, flatten the curve, doing our part, and it's gone very well.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
North America's oldest mountain running race will not happen in 2020. Organizers of Seward's Mount Marathon race have announced that it's become another casualty of the COVID-19 pandemic. Earlier this spring, the race committee postponed the event from its traditional date of July 4th and was considering instead running it on September 6th. But race director Matthias Sari says organizers could not, quote, adequately mitigate risk and safely adhere to State of Alaska and CDC large community event pandemic guidelines for spectators, participants, and volunteers, unquote. Sari says a survey of race registrants also showed that many would not participate in a September event. He says the race committee considered holding a scaled-back interval start race with fewer competitors and no spectators, but instead decided to postpone the historic race's 93rd running until July 4th, 2021, adding that the entire roster for the 2020 race will be frozen and rolled over to next year. The Native Youth Olympics have been canceled because of the pandemic, but organizers have found a way to continue the annual tournament. KTOO's Adeline Baxter reports.
Instead of meeting at the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage this year, teams sent in videos of athletes competing in their events. Coaches submitted scorecards and judges reviewed the submissions. The winners were announced Friday during a virtual award ceremony.
We had almost 50 athletes from over 20 communities compete from as far north as Nunavut, as far west as Nome, and as far south as Unalaska and Juneau. Nearly every region in the state was represented.
That's event judge Nicole Johnston. She said athletes competed outside on beaches and driveways, inside community centers, and from their living rooms. Juno athlete Ezra Elisoff placed first among boys in the Alaska high kick. The event requires balance and strength as athletes try to kick a small sealskin ball dangling from a string above them.
The thing is, you don't really need fancy equipment. All you need is just a kicking ball and a nice place to yourself.
Elisoff and his teammates trained after school throughout the year. Though he said it was disappointing to have the in-person event canceled, he's just glad he got to compete, even if he won't get to celebrate his victory with his team. Competitors in the Native Youth Olympics build each other up throughout the event. Elisoff says in other sports, you don't see that.
With NYO, it's different because you're encouraged to help others and you're encouraged to encourage each other and cheer each other on, because that's kind of what kept our ancestors alive, you know, all those years ago. And so I'm kind of proud to say that this is part of my culture.
Native games extend outside of Alaska. Youth and adults regularly compete in similar events against athletes from as far away as Greenland. In March, the Arctic Winter Games in Whitehorse, Canada, were abruptly canceled for the first time since 1970 due to health concerns. The annual World Eskimo Indian Olympics, which takes place in Fairbanks in July, has also been canceled. Organizers say they hope to hold an online celebration. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And I'm Dan Bross.